Bob Rivers, along with Spike O'Neill, Downtown Joe, Casey in the newsroom, Mike Jones on the phones, and Eric Corman with the audio that didn't show up this morning. Something wrong with the... someone changed it. There you go. Is it going to just come popping in? Okay. Thanks, Eric. Eric is... You know what I love about Eric?
Where do we start?
I know.
He smells so nice.
He's such a nice-smelling man, but that's not it.
Although this time in the morning, that's a pretty good thing.
He's one of those people that if something goes wrong... Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have loved to, Space Shuttle Challenger, at any disastrous moment in history, he's the guy you want there. He's immediately gets a look of frustration on his face. And for a guy with hardly any emotions, that's
from
a steep...
everything he's got.
That's a steep left turn for him. And then he gets down there and he fixes it right away. Finds out what's wrong. And he does it without blaming anybody else, which is inhuman. Most of us, the first thing we say is, that blasted overnight, weekend, temporary secretary person.
Short time.
But he goes, and he fixes it. And then he walks away, and 2 seconds later, he's at all systems normal. The steam that he had, he doesn't have to blow off.
Very cool under pressure, too. He can fix stuff quick. I mean, if I've got a minute to fix something, I'll spend 30 seconds panicking about the fact I've only got a minute.
He's not down to 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's economical in his fixing.
Amazing. He's a workhorse. Eric was still here, 5 o'clock yesterday?
5:30.
Some people think that it's the most amazing thing they've ever seen. Others just tiptoe quietly away about midday and say, see you later.
I hate leaving him because I feel like such a slacker.
He likes that, though.
I know he does.
He has human emotions.
I know. He gets this look of satisfaction.
He has jealousy, rage. He has all those things. They are wound up and tightly controlled like Spock, like Data.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like I have the emotions, I can observe the emotions as they occur, but they don't take me over.
Whatever.
Well, your mom was human, wasn't she?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Mom was human, his dad was Vulcan.
Right. I always get those two confused.
He's going to have a freak out, I think, when he turns 50.
Could he go postal? No. My bet would be on Mike for the member of our show most likely to go postal.
Hasn't he already done that?
I would always bet on the one not getting... anything but horse affection. Sorry, Mike.
Hey, I was married once. You guys aren't getting a whole lot either.
Really?
You know, Mike? Wouldn't make that assumption.
Okay.
If you add the three of us up, we're getting a lot. Count if you're talking about all of us.
I never wanted to look at it that way.
It would be counted as a lot.
Yeah.
Someone actually asked my wife and I that question at a party the other day. Yeah, I know. It's a very odd thing to just blurt out and ask someone. And it's a radio person, of course. Someone who used to work in this building.
Okay. Oh, I know who you mean.
Do you know who I mean?
Because I know where you went and I know who was there. So
We can say who it is, right?
Yeah, I think so. The question was uncomfortable, but not inappropriate, right?
Oh, no, it was completely inappropriate.
Okay.
It's Mary White, who is one of the former co-hosts at the Country Station. And I don't know where she's going to surface, but she's extremely talented. She's very funny, acerbic. Mm-hmm. She is like a female version of Spike.
Oh.
And those of you who've listened to the radio for years and years here have probably heard her on with Charlie and Ty and... where else has she been? I think she was on with Charlie and Ty for
a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, I used to listen to her.
And she was Landed Next Door for quite a while.
She's funny, spunky gal, and
fearless.
Fearless, completely fearless.
Fearless.
More so than you. Now, apparently, she got your other testicle.
Yeah,
but
I think
anyway,
she picked that up off the hospital waste floor area.
But I show up at this party, and at first when I saw her, I was like, oh, Mary, what happened to you? She had a stitch on her lip and a little Band-Aid around her eye. And she said, he beats me. But I love him.
But I love him.
Because he's good in bed. And for a moment I was like, whoa. And she said, no, I had a little lip cancer or something. And she had a little, you know. I said, whew. But I like the other story better. Very funny. And so she was like, wow, talking about me working out. Because it was, I guess, startling to her. She hadn't seen me in a few years. And she was, you know, in front of my wife. She was just saying all this stuff like, cute butt. Things like that. But she was so funny that Lisa was enjoying it.
Yeah.
And then she looks at us and she goes, so do you two do it a lot, all the time, still?
Oh.
I know. I was like,
Well, that depends upon your definition of what it is, and then what all the time means, and how often is often.
Right. And so I was, you know, initially wanted to just turn away, but then I thought about it, and I said, hey, I'm not going to let this woman be more brazen than I am.
Well, did you feel inclined to make up a story?
I invented a number, and I stuck with it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And it was like fishing. I'm sure it was a little bigger of a number than probably in actuality. Did you embellish?
No, I didn't embellish.
Not at all?
No.
I didn't undersell yourself.
I might have underreported.
Really?
But I thought it. That's not her business. So I'll only tell her part of it. Which makes no sense, I know.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
I'll tell her enough to just keep her at bay.
Mm-hmm. Did she seem surprised, shocked, envious?
She just turned around and said, cute butt, and went to get another glass of wine.
It was very strange.
Yeah. And I also got to meet a real good friend of mine's brother, who turns out to be almost his, I don't want to say evil twin, because there's nothing evil about him, but they look almost exactly alike.
Yeah.
And the brother is a totally different guy. But a lot of fun.
The other guy's not?
Look at your friend is not fun?
One guy is much more business. And the other is just fun, fun, fun. And they both like fun.
Mm-hmm.
But one is fun about business. And the other is just fun about life. You know, there's a thing, I don't know if you have friends who are severely into business. Do you have friends who are like all into business? And this goes, I actually look at people and I meet them and I decide whether they are business or pleasure. Do you know the difference?
You have to pay the business girl.
No. Business or pleasure. In other words, business, the people who are all business, literally at all times, are doing business in their heads. And if they're socializing, they're socializing with a business associate and talking about business.
Wow.
And they're thinking about business, and they're doing in their mind strategic ideas and development. And I have potential to be like that, but I resist it. The pleasure people, as I'll call them, the pleasure people, they go to work. While they're at work, they work incredibly hard. But when they leave work, they soak up pleasure.
Miller time.
It could be alcohol, and often, I'm sure, it's a big part of it. Alcohol greases the wheels of our society. But
amen.
And in business.
Yeah, clearly.
But I mean, they're interested in what the kids' report card says, what the local Girl Scout troop is selling at the door, what the neighborhood park is doing to add a new swing set. You know what I mean? They're interested in everything. They're interested in people that have nothing to do with their business.
I think that's the healthiest way to go about life, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. If you love your business and you spend all your time on it, what's wrong with that?
Doesn't it, at that rate, doesn't it inevitably eat you up and burn you up?
I don't think it has to. If you let it, it can. If you're obsessive about anything. Mm-hmm. If you're obsessive about being in the PTA, I think that can eat you up and burn you up. And I have seen it.
Pro- problem is when you love your business and that's all you do, when you're rudely cast out of your business, as everybody eventually is.
Everybody is eventually rudely cast out of their business? You believe that?
I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. How is that going to go for you?
Well, I'm a...
How'd it go last time?
I'm a walking vehicle for pleasure, so it's going to be just fine.
That sounds so wrong.
I'm a pleasure person. I love Clearly. My business and I love my work.
You were that first person I described.
But I can find a lot of joy
in Build-A-Bear.
Going to the park and Build-A-Bear. Yeah, I can.
Why did you laugh at Build-A-Bear?
To me, Build-A-Bear is work. To me, Build-A-Bear is enduring, you know, the crass commercialism.
You might be a third Build-A-Bear. Kind of person because, and I sense this in you, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I think business is work for you. Mm-hmm. And I think pleasure is also work for you. I've seen the efforts that you guys put into putting on a party. Mm-hmm. I've seen the efforts you put into family gatherings. I've seen the effort that it is just to deal with your family.
I know how Chinook feel as they make their way upstream just to die. You know, I can relate.
And that may be a third kind of person for whom everything is work, whether it's pleasure or business. And I wish I could somehow tell you that it would be better if you could not think of it as work. But well, I don't know. I think
weird.
You're wired that way.
It's weird, though. I mean, we spend so much effort on having fun. You're right. We do.
Oh, and when there's fun, there's planning. Yeah. There's chores. There's details.
Yeah.
There's buying.
It's stressful.
And now you become responsible for all the people who are going to be there and their fun. And then your emotions rise or fall with how well it's going. Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy everything I do. Both at home and at work. So, if it's all work, but how come I'm having so much fun doing all of it?
I think you're a holic. Just a holic. Doesn't even have to have anything in the beginning of it.
Extreme at everything. It's all over the top.
I'd agree with that assessment, too.
Casey, where are you?
I don't know. I think I'm an aholic, too. I enjoy everything to a fault, and I almost go a little bit too far. Not in enjoying it, but I mean, I just get obsessive about everything that I enjoy.
See, I like to just kick back, look at the blue sky and the clouds for an hour.
Oh, Jesus.
As you plot the undermining, the demise of somebody evil.
No, I've just
you
finished.
You work all the time.
I've just finished plotting the takeover of the world. Now, it's instead Miller. of Miller.
You plotted the undermining.
I can sit in the woods and look at a mountain stream and just get caught up in the patterns of the water over the pebbles for an hour.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the only way you're not going to burn up like a supernova.
That's right, because I think you burn too hard. How about you, Joe? Can you just sit and look at, like, patterns and flowers and blades of grass all neatly but not quite aligned in a row and be amazed by nature?
Only if there's, like, a bobber on that ripple of water and I'm waiting for something to tug on my line.
It's like fishing, yes.
Yeah, I can fish. And I think...
But it has to have a purpose?
Well, no, it doesn't have to, but that's kind of... I guess I need something to do. It's hard for me to just sit and stare into nothing. It used to come a lot easier, I mean, back in the, 70s, but...
That was drug helped.
Yeah.
It was called stupor,
yeah,
Joe.
You never knew.
You were in a stupor.
I guess so.
You watch the trees bark grow. Physically watch it grow for hours on end.
No. No, see, I'm funny this way because... And I don't know if anyone else is like this. There must be some of you out there, but... I could, actually, when I would hear that someone was going into solitary confinement, I'd be just slightly jealous. Oh, that sounds like fun, alone with just your mind.
Oh, man.
You're Most creeping me out now.
Really?
Yeah.
Most people cannot be alone with their own mind.
You know why? Those are the people that turn into the Unabomber.
I will not do anything like that.
I don't know so much now.
You do seem to have a bit of an agenda.
What's my agenda?
Your agenda is, I don't know what the basis of your agenda is, but I think your agenda is to make someone happy. It's usually not yourself. But your agenda is constantly to please somebody or to win someone's approval.
Yes.
And that probably stems back from...
That would
from,
be my dead father.
I was going to go there.
Oh, my God.
I was going to go there.
Oh, hey, look, you know what? This is a lot healthier than Dr. Phil. I saw Dr. Phil yesterday.
He's a mean man now sometimes.
What the hell was he doing yesterday? He had on... Oh, shoot. You know what? I blocked it from my mind.
He's turning into Jerry Springer.
I missed him yesterday.
It was freaky. Someone tell me who he had on yesterday, and it'll bring it back to me. 1-800-252-1025.
Was it Omarosa?
Oh, I'd have liked to have seen that.
Because I know she's coming up. I don't know if that was yesterday or not.
No, this was just some freakazoid.
Yeah. Well, it could still be Omarosa.
Yeah.
You haven't ruled her out yet.
So are those the basic type of personalities? The person for whom everything is work, whether you enjoy it or not, I'll let you just... I'm trying to make a case for that. The person for whom work is a necessary evil, whether you enjoy it or not, but everything is about getting home. Hmm. Which type of person are you?
I would have to say that I do everything mindfully. So whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's working or hiking or swimming with sea turtles or eating Cambodian frog legs, I am completely in the moment doing whatever it is. And I won't stop doing it until whatever activity is done.
You never just wander? Let your mind just wander? You don't just daydream?
No, he's constantly analyzing everything.
Well, but I
will. But it's easy for him. He's got it built in. It's like he had all this RAM, extra RAM installed by God, and it just sits there.
When you're eating frog legs, do you wonder what the frog is doing without his legs? I wonder if he's able to move about efficiently. Can I start a program?
No, he knows the frog is dead.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Mike, is that someone who knows what was on Dr. Phil yesterday?
I don't know, Bob.
Do you know what was on Dr. Phil yesterday?
Yeah.
What was it?
There was two girls that were supposedly in this cult.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I remember now. What's your name?
My name is Dean.
Dean, thank you for that. Dr. Phil yesterday, it was such pandering. Polygamy.
Oh, I heard him teasing that one. It was like the old guys who take the multiple wives.
Right? Multiple wives in the hills of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, when I saw this show, I realized why the guys in Utah need multiple wives. Because five of them together don't add up to ugly. I always thought the whole multiple wives were really hot, you know.
Yeah, it's the harem theory.
Grab the young 14-year-olds and have their little harem, but then these are... And I don't mean ugly. I shouldn't say that. I mean... Well,
unfortunate.
It's been a hard road
for
these people.
Their forefathers made the trip across the country.
That's right.
Their
skin was toughened up severely.
Yeah.
But from the elements.
No. Compound living is not good for the teeth or the skin. I mean, when you're holed away like that.
Six wives, one toothbrush?
Yeah, and he was talking to these women who had escaped from polygamy. Ooh. And it's a very, actually, it's a serious, I didn't know it was that big of an issue still.
Well, it's an issue with the FLDS, which is the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, which is based in Utah and Arizona, and they're just opening a brand new compound in Texas. And the issue is the attorneys general of Arizona and Utah are investigating these folks because of alleged welfare fraud and child abuse.
Why welfare fraud? Oh, because they're probably saying that these are all their children when paperwork-wise, they can't all be their children because they're multiple wives.
Right, single moms.
Right, they're all claiming to be unmarried single moms getting welfare handouts.
But still, how weird is that? We're trying to get back at them by hurting the children, by denying the children money.
Except the way the LDS works, and I hope I'm right on this, is that you tithe to the community so heavily that the kids aren't getting this money anyway. Most of this welfare money that they're absconding with.
Oh, it just goes to the fat cat.
The church. Goes to the bowling trophy.
Heidi in Enumclaw. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Good. I just wanted to correct something. It was Colorado City, Arizona, not in Utah.
You know, I didn't stay around on the show long enough not to go with my automatic assumption that it was Utah. You're right. Thank you. Did you watch that whole thing?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty freaky. It was really freaky.
Heidi.
I've seen it before on like a 60 Minutes, also on Colorado City, and I'm just freaked out by it. A lot of brainwashing going on there.
Yeah, do you imagine that something like that could have happened to you? That you could have, at some point in your life, maybe when you were young?
No, I'm too stubborn.
Now, what does Dr. Phil have to say to these people?
He was just probably, how I took it, was he was trying to take them and get them, how do I put this? He was trying to tell them that they are not worthless because they believe that men are higher than they are. He's just trying to tell them that they are a person of worth. That's kind of what I got out of it.
Being an unfortunately faced woman gives you fewer options. I understand this to be true. But some option you may want to consider has a battery inside. Won't treat you the way you're being treated every day of your life.
Very much like what he was saying. And I would say he's doing a good thing.
By exploiting this unfortunate...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but even the law authorities aren't even doing anything about this. They just let them be.
It was interesting.
It's kind of scary.
It was interesting that the police are kind of paid off. That they were trying to talk to some police about it, they were saying it's none of your business.
It's disgusting.
Aren't the police worried about infringing on religious freedoms? I'd like to pull the nails out of Christ's hands, but you know the Romans. They got a plan. You know, they seem to know what they're doing. Who am I?
Thank you, Heidi.
Yep.
Actually, about 50 years ago, the Attorney General, make that the governor of Arizona, tried to crack down on these folks at Colorado City and the polygamy. And the polygamy was the main issue as to why the crackdown was happening. It completely backfired and ended that particular governor's political career because of religious freedoms being infringed upon. Now, because of the child abuse and the welfare issues, that's why there actually might be a case this time.
Thank you, Eric. I don't know. I don't like to judge someone else's lifestyle if it's different from ours. And these people, sound pretty bad based on what the women are saying. But if you treated them good, would it be a bad thing, polygamy?
I don't think so, if everybody was happy.
Are there any polygamists in the world anywhere where everyone's, like, kind of digging it? I mean, the whole harem thing, usually, that you get to wear the I Dream of Jeannie clothes, and there's usually fountains and pools, and it doesn't look so bad.
Guy gets kind of a shopping a la carte kind of program going on, right?
Well, I'm just saying, is it that these guys are abusive and these girls are in against their will, or is it that polygamy itself is just a horrible thing, a horrible, horrible, horrible? And if it is horrible, what is it about the human species that makes us seek monogamy? And I say this as a monogamous person. I'm not trying to push an agenda here.
Well, historically, we have been more or less polygamists. Monogamy, relatively speaking, is a relatively new concept, because men would try to expand the gene pool as much as they could, and women, once they were doing their part to reproduce, they were basically done for a year or two before they could reproduce again.
But here's the question. Is monogamy desirable for practical scientific, because it's the best reasons, or is it religious entirely in nature, and that's the reason it's the big, the big thing today?
Well, I would say that based on our current property laws and the way that our society is structured, it's difficult to rearrange all of that. In other cultures, such as the Middle East, where polygamy is acceptable...
Polygamy is not that big a deal in the Middle East, because they'd be happier.
Could you tell which one it was anyway, the burqa on? You only see this much of her face.
It can't work that well. And there aren't that many polygamists, right? Isn't it just the rich lords, the rich wealthy sheiks and stuff?
Whatnots,
yeah, generally people wouldn't get married again unless they could afford a second or third or fourth wife.
Oh, there you go, too. One Nordstrom's charge card is about all I can have.
Really? It seems like with four wives, it might be easier on the wives. You only have to do serious wife in a quarter of the time. You got three quarters of your day left for...
A kind of a staff.
Yeah.
A wife staff.
Yeah.
You guys keep dreaming in there.
Well, we're trying to find the pleasure or the pleasing end of it for women. What's in it for the women in a polygamous relationship? A whole team of you against
him?
You're
taking care of the idea. I mean, I don't know as much as Eric does, but I've read that a lot of women like feeling taken care of, so they don't mind sharing their husband with other women. For me, I'm not sharing my man with anyone, so...
Yeah, spoken as if you had one.
Shut up.
After 2 decades writing and singing hits like Stand or Fall, Red Skies, Saved by Zero, and One Thing Leads to Another, as the lead singer of The Fix, Cy Kernan is releasing his first solo CD. It's called Mayfly. Cy Kernan, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hi.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's a lot later in the day here than it is for you, so it's almost cocktail hour down here.
You know, and it's, what's funny is that British musicians are easy to get on the phone during our morning show. Much easier than other musicians.
Because we're wide awake by now.
That's right.
Already had a real good day.
Yeah, it's been tickety-boo, what can I say?
What time is it exactly in France?
5 o'clock.
Nice.
So the sun is just tripping over the yard arm, and the corkscrew is being reached for.
Beautiful.
And you said down here, you must be in the south of France?
Well, I'm right in the middle. I like to call it the south, but I'm really right in the Loire Valley, which is lock stock in the middle.
What do you love about France?
Well, the peace and quiet for me. I've found a little place that's my nearest neighbor's 4 miles away. And the weather's quite gentle. There's a lot of variety in the scenery. You've got mountains, you've got great... You've got the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, you've got interesting old historical villages, all that kind of stuff. Once you get away outside of the politics, the people are great, you know?
Nice. You were obviously a lot more responsible with your money than certain members of The Who, and have fewer wives than Rod Stewart.
Yeah. I've been a little lucky there.
That's nice. Do you have a missus?
I do, yeah. She's building a goat farm around where we live right now.
I'd love to have a little woman planted somewhere building a goat farm.
I thought it would be great, because whilst I'm off on the road, she's just sitting at home milking the goats, and I've got the little nipper, 3 years old, running around picking fresh flowers every day. It's kind of the ideal life.
A great separation. I mean, you're a rock star by night and by trade, and a goat farmer by day.
As long as I just remember to wash the odor off, I'll be all right.
No one wants to shake my hand.
Is it something I said?
Cy, the life of a rock star, of course, we all think it's very glamorous, but we've talked to enough of you guys to know that it's a tough life on the road, and having something special like that to come home to probably means a lot, because a lot of these guys, even big, big names, they're living a very, I don't want to say miserable, but they're living the kind of life that looks great on the surface, but the day-to-day of the hotels and the travel and the standing on stage looking at a piece of paper tacked at your feet that tells you what city it is, it's not the greatest life in the world, is it?
No, I mean, there's a huge abyss right there. I mean, music is a way of soothing their pain, and for other people it's a way of just celebrating life. And luckily for me, music has been as much about celebrating my life as about weeping into my gin. So, you know, life on the road, what's been good for me is I've had the same guys in the band. We've been together for 27 years, and we've grown up together. And we're all there for each other. The friendship has kind of kept us fresh and happy.
And they've all got their little gentleman farms and their goat farmer wives, too?
Well, some are, one's in the antique business, the other one's kind of running around rearing my high-powered children and all that stuff. So we all have different lives, but...
But
when
we're
on the road, we're there for each other.
The same appreciation for quality. You guys were one of the most successful and I think one of the most vibrant bands of the 80s. You had multiple hits. You had a distinctive sound, which is something that all bands strive for. You didn't sound like anybody else. How did that come together, and did it feel like magic at the time?
Yeah, it really did. I think the band's sound really finally came together when Jamie Westorum, the guitarist, joined. He had such a unique way of playing his guitar, very strong hands pulling these chords, and he would pluck the chords rather than strum them. And you marry that with some of the compression and effects that he uses, it gave him a very distinct sound. Then you've got My Choke Chortle going along on the top, and then you've got it, The Fix hit the road. And we were lucky enough to have some fairly distinguishable hits early on, like Stand or Fall and Red Skies, which were part of what people call the British invasion, but I think they stood apart just in terms of the mood and the pacing of which we used to make the to write those songs in, and they still work today, you know, for that. And then we went on and had a few more hits and changed a bit.
Nice, and you're right. Listen, a distinctive guitar sound. Conservative play, too.
Yeah, yeah, very conservative. You know, he was just minimal. I think we were all about soundscapes. We talk about our music in visual terms as well as audio terms.
I can just picture a woman over tending the goats.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm really hung up on this goat thing.
It makes him happy.
It does. Well, if you have a place like that to return to, you can experience the world and really enjoy it. Cy Kernan of Fix. Here's a new song you guys did. I want to play a little bit of that. It's called Traded the Wind for the Good. Gold, excuse me, gold. Cy, this is a solo album, right?
That's correct, yeah.
How do the rest of the members of the band feel about you doing a solo album?
I think they're okay with it. I mean, it was just something I recorded in a little downtime, and it's been released in a little quiet time. Yeah, I think what's good for me is good for them, and vice versa.
Because it didn't go that way in Spinal Tap, you remember that.
Yeah, it was always a bit... I mean, there's always the funny side of musicians' habits and jealousies, but we've ironed our egos out a long time ago.
What did you think of MTV? It kind of helped you guys along a lot in the beginning, didn't it, Cy?
It really did. It got us recognized visually a lot quicker than I think we ought to. You know, little girls screaming, throwing your underwear at you, and they recognize you in the street from seeing your video, and they expect you to be walking around with a microphone in your hand or posing as you were on television. But it was a very useful tool. It got us out there much quicker than had we been... Maybe in the 70s we would have to sort of grind our way around the world a few times to get the same amount of recognition.
Do you reach a point 20, 25 years into the career where you ask the underwear to stop?
Yes.
It's a little bigger.
You ask to start again.
Big girl underwear.
Big girl pants catching the winds, they do.
That's it. Well, then my wife's saying, at least can you grab save the ones that are in her size?
Oh,
that's lovely.
Hey, yeah, Cy, we share everything.
We're putting a band together here, the members of our show and members of our audience, musicians of our audience, and I get to be up front. And
it's a good place to be.
I'm petrified. What one piece? I've already got the stable home life. I've got the kid. I've got the. I don't have a goat farm, but I've got everything. I've got the quiet side. What should I know about being the front man?
Just make sure you're well rehearsed, that you can get to that relaxed point. And once it starts, you'll be. If you know it, you'll be relaxed as soon as it starts. It's a bit beforehand where you get. I still get nervous today before I go on.
You do.
That's you serve that. That's you use that as your energy. That's your energy that's going to fill the room, hopefully.
Cy, you don't know this, but Spike is actually quite a very good singer. He's an excellent singer, in fact. If you hold on, we'll give you an address. We'll send you some stuff of him singing.
Oh, well, there you go. That'd be all right. That'd be nice.
And we'll bring some stuff up. What are you going to need in Darrington? What will he need? Toilet paper?
Bit of toilet paper, some fresh towels, and a pair of binoculars if I can't see the mountain good enough.
Pine tree air fresheners. We're going to bring some stuff and stop by and see you. Will you let us hang in your bus a little?
Absolutely, yeah. We always have a post-concert party on the bus.
I love to have it. It's been a long time since I was in a rock star bus.
Yeah. Well, ours has sort of been well lived in, but it's faithful.
I see.
Yeah. What size underwear can we bring for your wife?
She's, I think, a Victoria's Secret medium.
There you go. You're a lucky man.
Very nice. Cy Kernan in the middle of nowhere in France of The Fix. Thank you, Cy.
Thank you very much for the plug.
You've heard of Operation Desert Storm, but how about Operation Salami Drop? Hey, how you doing?
Salami Drop?
It's not what you think.
It's an attempt to bust prostitutes, right?
Yeah,
just clean up our streets.
It's my dream come true. No more dating. It still has to do with troops in Iraq, but it also includes New Jersey deli owners. Brothers Mark and Michael Brummer own Hobby's Deli and wanted to find a way to help the U.S. troops stationed in Iraq.
Yeah. So I still say don't drop any of this near Abu Ghraib, okay? This is not it could be misused.
No, this has some history. to it. Their goal is to feed all members of the 42nd Infantry Division into Crete, and their dad, who used to own the deli, and he's like 82 years old now, served in World War II and said that people used to send him a salami a month, and he'd carry it around in his backpack and carve off slices for all of his fellow troop members.
That's killer.
So they've decided that this is their way to contribute, and so they're accepting donations of $10 a salami, and they've already sent out their first 2 tons shipment. And they're going to be doing Operation Salami.
Well, that's a lot of salami.
Well, you can do that with salami. It'll keep. Imagine Operation Fish Toss. If we wanted to send salmon to the troops over there.
That's the great thing about salami and that processed meat. It's been processed so much, man, that you could leave it for your next of kin.
Well, Tutankhamun has one of those, you know, aspen of salami. It gets crossed arms 2,000 years later. It's still good to eat.
I'm actually very excited today. There's a hanging salami establishment opening in my neighborhood.
Is it Oberto?
No, it's an old New York hang it from the rafters kind of restaurant.
Deli?
Yeah. I don't even know the name. I don't want to give him a free ad, but it's going to be.
No, we want to charge him for that ad, or you want to wait till he gives you the free salami?
Right, it's going to be huge, though. I'm going in there today. Grand opening, big Jewish deli.
I've never been, and I know a lot of you go. Do you go to one of the meat shops and buy your meat from a meat guy?
No, but I did when I traveled, and that made it a lot better. It was a lot fresher.
I should do that. My mom did that. She had a butcher. That she, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think we've gone so much to the big grocery store, and they have, I'm sure, fine butchers.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea of a specialist, a butcher.
Even in a big grocery store, you get to personally know a butcher, and your quality of eating goes way up.
Does he give you the better cut?
Yeah, of course.
Because
he
you're
does.
A regular customer. My mother swore that the butcher saved specific pieces for her.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew she was raising 8 kids. They were both Catholics.
Mrs. Rivers, good to see you again, Don. Look at this. I saved a few. Look at the marbling in that roast. Huh?
He would actually talk about the marbling. And I'm a little kid. You know, I was in the grocery cart reaching for the sugar pops. They still put them on the low shelves, even back then. And the butcher was like a special person to my mom.
And all they
I
ask.
Looked a little like the butcher, too, but I don't think that... No, he was a special person. And so there are... So wait a minute. So the times I've gone into a meat shop and they don't know me, does that mean they give me the meat they didn't save for their best customer?
Depends on how you treat them.
Butcher
doesn't ask much for you to be a good customer. You have to be friendly and appreciative. They want to give it to people that appreciate it. If you don't appreciate meat, then
they just give you whatever.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate meat now?
Well, yeah. You got to rave about it.
Do you know how...
This is their passion and their life.
How's your judgment when it comes to meat?
I don't buy it.
You don't buy meat?
No. I hate it. I only eat meat if it's in a cheeseburger or spaghetti sauce or a taco. Otherwise, I'd buy chicken or egg substitute.
Give her everything that could be in a taco.
Good Lord. And that's the leftover meat that the butcher has.
That's the stuff that we can't sell.
No, don't throw it in the can. I got a plan for that.
But I don't buy it. I'll buy ground turkey or I'll buy chicken.
Buy ground stuff. Again, they ground it for a reason because it doesn't look very good until they do.
Right.
Oh, fabulous.
It's special meat. I don't get meat.
You're going to have mad cow disease.
I don't eat cow enough to get mad cow disease.
You eat a cheeseburger, you say.
I eat a cheeseburger maybe once every 3 months.
It takes is one.
One.
Just one mad cow.
Depending on where it came from.
Great.
You go to a butcher shop and you ask him for a nice New York strip steak, and he says, how thick you want that cut? Because he goes, he cuts it off the side of beef.
He cuts it for you.
For you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's nice.
It's a thing of beauty.
It is. You don't like that.
I don't like cooking meat. I don't even walk by the butcher's aisle in the grocery store. I just don't.
Does meat bother you?
Yes. Ever since I was little, I can't eat meat plain. I don't even know if I should admit this, actually. I don't like steak.
You don't like steak?
I don't like
steak. I think it's the young, undeveloped palate.
So you'll go out for steak because you know it's costing the guy a lot, but you don't really enjoy eating it.
No, but
have
I
you
should.
Been to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse?
No, I've been to the Met.
Met's a fine.
But
fine
I got the chicken, see?
You went to the Met and got chicken?
First time visitor.
Uh-huh.
Why would you pay that kind of money for chicken? The thing about a chicken is
delicious.
You can get chicken
right,
you can get chicken from the colonel.
A bucket of drive through.
Oh, that's
for
not
$3.
Healthy,
Why would you go spend $100 on
what? flank steak is okay, but I just don't like looking at a slab of meat. It has to be, you got to hide it from me.
Joe, somewhere. Bring her in some of your teriyaki.
I got
no.
some.
Look at this. Joe's got a bag of meat.
I got some steak right here. It's been sitting out for a couple hours.
No, oh. Ew, ew.
Ooh, look at that. Look at that. That
Joe actually had meat in his pocket.
Hey, I cooked this last night. This is good.
Is that flank?
It is flank.
That
is,
yeah.
Now, how many days would you walk around with that and still eat it? Be honest.
Well, I'm simply going to get past lunch, but I'm willing to sacrifice
it's
a little.
These days are numbered.
If you want to try it, Casey, it's flank steak. It's a custom. I picked the butcher gave me the great cut. It's a good cut.
That's a good looking piece of meat there, Hammer.
Hey, when we can even convince Mike Jones that God, or whatever you believe in, you know, like nothing, intended you to eat steak.
And Mike has fallen so far down the meat ladder. I was with him last weekend.
He's climbed the meat ladder so high.
What do you mean, falling down the meat ladder?
Well, he started with these grain-fed steaks. And
you don't eat free-range cattle that were, you know, romping and playing in fields of flowers.
He was a protest sign-carrying, burrito-eating...
veggie burrito.
Veggie burrito
tofurkey
eating...
Tofurkey and Thanksgiving.
Tofurkey Thanksgiving. Ralph Nader voting wacko.
Now, this weekend, I'm out with him, and he eats pepperoni. And pepperoni, by the slice, it's been sitting around a couple hours.
Yeah.
I said, no,
get there.
Mike, save it.
I don't want to get
save it for the good pepperoni. I'll take you out for some real pepperoni. So then he ate twice in one day. I don't know if he wants
There are many different kinds of pepperoni, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, and some of them have really distinct, wonderful flavors, and some are cheap. If you get pizza, you can actually tell the difference.
Yeah,
I'm not going to plug or not plug any particular pizza place, but there is one in town here that has some really authentic, cool Italian pepperoni, and it's
really?
It's round. Well, it's about the size of a quarter, not a half dollar. You know the kind I'm talking about.
I do. A little thicker on the cut.
A little thicker on the cut of the pepperoni. A particular place I think just opened up on Capitol Hill. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I do.
It's expensive. I don't really like the place. They're kind of rude to you.
Perfect. Getting better every time you say it.
No. They're
no pizza for you.
They're kind of stuffy about it. Yeah. But they had the right pepperoni. They did other things wrong. The crust was horrible.
Really?
Oh.
Now that's on East Pine or East
I'm
Pike.
Not telling you where it is.
Well, I've been
because I'm giving you an honest rating. I'm not giving you a fluffy restaurant thing, but I'm telling you the
my
pepperoni.
Good friends that paid me to say this pizza.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to try that one. There's one down in Rainier.
It's worth trying. It's good. Some people will really like it. I, of course, am pizza spoiled. I was raised in the pizza capital of the world.
Italy?
New Haven, Connecticut.
Better than Italy.
Italy
really.
Sucks.
you look at the
Italians who make the great pizza moved over here,
right?
And settled in. You know, a lot of people say New York pizza, but really New York is like is near to New Haven.
Right.
You look at the pizza ratings every year, and three of the top five are usually in New Haven.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. In fact, it's a dream of mine if I could find investors. Yeah, now I'm back to self-serving with what I'm saying on the radio, huh?
Yeah, it's your bailiwick.
It's my dream to open a real, authentic Italian a pizzeria that would serve brick oven pizza with proper little pepperonis on it, good cheese, crust that actually tastes like something. Crust where you like, you can't leave a piece of the crust. It's so good.
Nice.
Pizza where it just drips when you pull it apart. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't like congeal.
Right. You need two-handed pizza.
There used to be a place, I think I took you there once right before it closed, and it was called Abrizzi's over by the convention center, and they got forced out by the convention center, and I said, surely you're reopening somewhere. It's like, nah, we're quitting, you know, and they just quit.
That's Italian people for you, too.
They went away.
Italian
now
pizza people.
The city's lost, that's what.
Yeah.
They can do it out. They can have it delivered to
I
their
swear
damn
to God,
daughter.
That
that's what they think of that one.
I knew a pizza guy who also did a New York-style pizza around here. There are people around here who've come close, but nothing like, for example, if you want a Philly cheesesteak sub,
yep, one place.
There's one place that you can get it. It's on Madison, and it's the real deal. These people moved here from Philly, said, no one's doing it, we're doing it.
Ain't nothing but Flyers and Phillies and Eagles banners all over the walls in there.
Place is called
Philly Fever.
You betcha.
Okay, but so far no one's got the pizza right. George in Seattle, you know what I'm talking about.
My wife and I are going back to New Haven. Actually, we're going to Hamden, but we're going there specifically for Pepe's and Sally's on Worcester Street.
I've been to Pepe's.
Oh, hey, if you're in the area, who hasn't?
Waited in line.
It's worth the flight over there, you know, once every 2 years, just to eat pizza, you know, five or six times a day.
When you got a greased maitre d' at a pizzeria, that's good pie.
To get in. The line forms an hour or two before they open, and the line is up to 2 hours long, and people wait in it.
For pizza?
Oh, and you get to stare when you're walking up the alley there. You're looking at everybody else eating, and you're walking down the middle of them, and you're drooling almost on their pizza, just saying, all right, I'll wait another hour. Just
swear to God, it's better than sex.
Oh, yeah.
Is this like hand-tossed?
Oh, you think?
Thin crust?
Oh, it's hand-tossed. They throw the dough up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And they have these big, long mallets.
You know, Modern Pizza?
I've been to Modern.
Airmails. You can order it, and they will airmail it to you next day.
There's something about...
You pay $40 for shipping, but when you get that at home, and you toss it in the oven, you got a little grease running down your arm. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's why you work. God. That's why you go to work every morning.
Thank you, bye. He's got to go. He's Italian. Did you see that, how he dismissed us? That's guys. Yeah, my time is up.
Most places I go to, the grease doesn't make it past the wrist. I'd love to have grease all the way down the arm.
If there's anything I wish there was more of in the Pacific Northwest, it's feisty Italians. We're low on feisty Italians.
We are.
Let's go grab some.
There's a couple out there. If you're a feisty Italian and you know how to talk to me like a feisty Italian, call us right now. Show us what I mean. Tell me off.
Please.
1-800-252-1025. I don't even know if we'll get one.
Especially the women are masters, I've found. At least the ones in the true Italian restaurants, the feisty Italian women.
That's where I get some of the desire to have fun while fighting, because they can fight, and they will fight in their families.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just smell the love dripping like the cheese from their pizza.
He's right.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's palatable.
We're getting one call?
A couple of them coming in.
The dude who owned the pizza place in North Bend that is no longer there was Italian, and he had it. He had it going on. The pizza was pretty good. It wasn't, again, it's...
Pride.
It's like, I was going to say, going to New Haven for me is like going to a certain religious shrine.
Right.
But I can't say that.
I know, I've wanted to use that word three times today.
We used to have a female coworker that we worked with named Mecca. I'm afraid to even say it now. I wonder if that is an affront.
No, that was her name.
I know, but is that an affront to the good people of the Islamic faith?
Look at that. No Italians.
Wow, Mike blew all those Italians off.
Mike, I'm an Italian who wants to fight with Bob.
Did they call and say, I'm too busy to call to talk to you, Bob?
No, they chewed me out. They were really insulting, and so I let them go. Screw
Mike, you're supposed to let that through.
Oh, shoot. No, they were unrelated.
Seriously, we have no... Italians. Remember I said, we have hardly any black people, and a whole bunch of black people called?
Yeah.
We have no feisty Italians in Seattle. It's something you're missing.
It's a pretty small community. We got a huge, you know, every brand of Asian community out here. We've got a lot of Native Americans. There aren't many Italians that made it this far, I guess.
There's maybe one. 1-800. Perhaps I didn't say the phone number right.
1-800-252-1025. You call now, huh?
1-800-252-1025.
Anthony!
Remember those Ronzoni commercials when it would be Wednesday and they would call Anthony? They would, Mom would open up the window and she'd call out the window.
Anthony! Don't make me come down there! Ma, we're playing stickball!
Pat.
Yo.
Hey, Pat.
Yes.
Are you really Italian?
You bet. I'm a Montini.
What's a Montini?
That's my last name.
Oh, Montini.
Pat Montini.
Yeah, I was related to Pope Paul VI. How much more Italian can you get?
Not much more than that.
I thought Pope was celibate. How'd you do
that? I make better pizza than anybody on the planet.
He'd be related to the Pope. He has brothers and sisters. Oh, okay. He came from mothers and fathers.
Okay.
You make good pizza.
Oh, I make the best pizza.
Do you yell at your kids?
Huh?
Do you yell at your kids?
My child? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course you have to yell at your kids.
And it's we only argue in the family. And pounding the floor when you're arguing is a good thing.
See.
So
give him a little slap in the back of the head when he needs it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a good Italian mama.
Do you feel like a very small minority out here in the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You go to PTA meetings and think, what is all of this? Who are these Martha Stewart types?
So, but I had to tell you, there's one Italian here. One. I'm it.
Where are you from? Before Italy. I mean, after Italy.
Actually, I was born in Germany.
All right. Thank you. Roger in Port Orchard.
This is Nate, but...
Oh, it's not Roger. Sorry, I'll get to you next. Roger, you're up.
Okay, thanks.
How you doing, Roger?
Good, how are you?
All right.
Good. Am I on the radio now?
You're on the radio now.
Oh, good afternoon. Or should I say good morning?
Good morning, whatever you want.
Hey, I'm from Port Orchard, but I was born and raised in Rhode Island, which in a place called Little Italy. And I came out here about 15 years ago with the Navy, and I'll tell you what, I think you're right. There's a fair amount of Italians, but most of the Italians around here they don't care what you think. So, like most people,
The Italians are Italian, like Michael Jackson is black around here.
Genetic code only.
Well, you know, even in my family, you know, if they don't like what you say, they'll either tell you they don't like what you say, or if they don't really care about you, they don't care. So, big deal, they blow you off, you know. So it's kind of tough. And I grew up in an Italian family, but I married into an Irish family. And I've had to call everything I've said, everything I've ever learned, everything I've ever wanted to about discipline has been totally ripped from my body and my soul. So it's kind of a 50-50 thing right now, but I can't say what I want to say. So I've got to kind of go sheepishly into a corner, go blah, 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 blah.
Right. And Italian men really do love their women, even though they also love their mistresses.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, you do whatever it takes to make your lady happy, because in the real world, she owns every part of you. That's about it.
There you go. You're the authentic deal, dude. Where's your favorite pizza?
Here?
Ha!
my wife makes good pizza.
That's it, your wife's. Michelle in Kirkland.
Yes, hey, good morning. Good morning. There's very few good pizza places on the east side, especially.
Especially on the east side, they're bad.
Especially. There's one place up
Italian people say especially.
A little Sicilian man and his wife own it, and that's probably the best place to go for a little slice of heaven.
A little Sicilian man on Highway 9, does it have a name?
Up in Clearview. I think he calls it New York Pizza. Number one New York Pizza.
That's what they try. I've been there, actually. I've been to pilgrimage to there.
Yeah?
Yep.
It was okay. It was okay. Again. Yeah.
No, my Italian relatives still live on the east coast. My dad was the only one that traveled to the west coast here.
I think the rain affects the pizza here.
I'd sure like to find a nice Italian man.
You were looking for Italian men?
Absolutely.
You're in the wrong part of the world.
I know.
All our men are pale and pasty white. Thank you, Michelle. Slavio.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, you Italian?
Absolutely. 100% pure Italian.
Slavio?
Yes, Flavio.
That's an Italian name.
Oh, yes, it is. Very much so.
Wow.
You think they're all called Tony?
That's what I thought.
How many chins are there in the
couple,
Chinese phone book? Are you all
Vinnies,
about stereotypes?
A couple Vinnies.
Tony and Vinny, yeah. Slavio?
Yes.
Do you feel like a minority here in the Pacific Northwest?
Absolutely. There is no true Italians here. No, not very many of them. I feel alienated in this area.
There's no, like, celebration or any, you know, pasta there's, days or anything like that for people to go to.
There's no love like there is in the home country.
And it makes you feel bad, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of like a pygmy on an NBA tour bus. 102.5 KZOK, Bob Rivers, Spike, Joe, Casey, Mike Jones, Eric Corman. Oh, and another complaint caller. What did I say this time?
Two in one day.
Hello?
Hello?
What is that?
Are you a pygmy, sir? I speak a little pygmy. It's all... That's funny. He says, yeah, it's all little pygmy. There's no big pygmy. Apparently he's upset about what you said. It's like a pygmy on an NBA tour bus.
Is that offensive to pygmies?
Yeah. It's belittling his size and in his stature as a citizen of the planet.
Sir, I didn't mean to offend pygmies, to be quite honest with you. I didn't think there were any listening, that's why... What did he say?
He said, just because there's not many Italians out here, don't think there's not many pygmies in this Northwest. That they have a large community.
Would you ask him in Pygmy Joe what his favorite pizza is?
A booga booga pepperoni sausage-o.
What'd he say?
He said it's all kind of fabulous, but the goat cheese, he doesn't do cow.
All right, thank you, Mr. Pygmy. Sorry, man. We don't intend to offend anybody, okay? All right. Do you know what this is?
Texas cheerleaders?
No. Listen carefully. Do you know what that is?
Paul Simon's new album?
It's authentic pygmy music.
Really?
They're auditioning for our band.
The little people!
That's really cool. That was recorded at a pygmy camp somewhere?
Yeah, it's music of the rainforest pygmies. It's the leaf-carrying song.
I didn't think they were real.
They do Let It Rain.
You didn't think pygmies were real? Did you think pygmies were like the Keebler elves who are so corrupted by television?
They live in a tree. I don't know. I haven't watched Reading Rainbow in a long time.
Pygmies
you never will believe where those shrunken heads come from. They're big little pygmies in a hollow tree.
No, I don't think they're cannibals.
Head shrinkers?
The pygmies, yeah.
What are pygmies? Eric knows.
Well, yes. They're
Did you have dinner with a pygmy family while you were on a sabbatical?
Well, I was in a part of Southeast Asia where there are people who are only about 5 feet tall.
And they call them pygmies.
They do, because that's the maximum height that you'll generally see. The reason why they're so small is because they don't get a lot of protein in their diet, and as a result, there isn't a lot of height.
Is pygmy a kind of a scientific term for somewhat of a diminutive stature?
Well, it's become that. It's okay. Not necessarily scientific. You find them, though, in Southeast Asia and also in Central Africa.
After a comic and fiery debate, punctuated by several lawmakers waving pom-poms, the Texas House of Representatives yesterday approved a bill to restrict overtly suggestive sexually cheerleading. Texas has now approved a bill that cheerleaders will be more ladylike and less tramp-like.
Boring.
We talked to the sponsor of that bill last month, and I thought, well, it's cute. It raises awareness, but it'll never become law.
Well, it's not law yet, right? It has to go through the Senate.
Right, but it's heading that way faster than I thought.
The bill will give the State Education Commission authority to, and who's going to, I'm going to apply for this position, Andrew is going to move to Texas. Cheerleader routine analyst for the state. You know, you're going to come in with a little clipboard.
Mm-hmm. Pair of calibration tongs.
ladies, I would hope you'd thought better of us than to do that to each other. We do have that on film, am I right? Oh, good. We have to study that more intently.
We'll bring it to before the board, and we'll analyze it for a few weeks. Girls can get out and do all of these overly sexual performances, and we applaud them, and that's not right, said Democratic Representative Al Edwards, who we had on the show.
So it made it through the House. It's got to go to the Texas State Senate, and then the governor will have to sign off on
it. Governor of the fine state of Texas.
Are you trying to tell me you don't want teenage girls hopping and bubbling about, sweating up the room? You think this is a bad thing? I don't know.
Seemed a little extreme. I think they were talking about withholding funds and stuff, if, you know.
If the girls violate a policy. Yeah.
Well, Texas is to cheerleading like Mecca is for Muslims. I mean, yeah. Texas is the heart of that. All cheerleaders mm-hmm. turn and face Texas before they do a pyramid.
Called home.
Yeah. So, and I don't know, if this happens in Texas, I predict it would sweep across the country.
I don't think it'd be a bad thing.
You don't?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's a place for freak dancing. Once you get to be a Sonic Team dancer, you can bump and grind the hardwoods as hard as you like. When you're a high school girl, or because this isn't college, it's about high school.
See, I think it's a terrible thing, but I want to let you keep going, yeah.
I think if you're a high school girl, there'll be a time in your life when overt sexuality will be not just a right, but a requirement to lure that man of your dreams in, but not in high school. There's innocence is already so fleeting and so ripped from people.
You think the government should decide what innocence is, and that's...
Well, they decide what nasty is.
Well, I don't think they should do that either.
Who's going to do it?
Responsible individuals.
How's that working so far?
Parents.
Working pretty good, huh? Yeah.
If they're fully clothed, it's kind of hard to say what's suggestive and what's just great acrobatics. Here,
bend over, Joe. Let me show you something while you're fully clothed.
You're not going to make Joe look
sexy.
Suggestive no matter what you do to him. You can put him in any position, and I'm not going to think it's suggestive.
Okay.
Plus, I can't bend over. I get about a third of the way. So.
Should the government be regulating cheerleading content? I think it's worthy of a phone poll. 1-800-252-1025. I say no. I say, look, parent pressure on schools can go a long way. Schools should have some dignity and some decency policy without the government stepping in with a cheerleader monitor to come in with his little clipboard and decide, and it's not going to be in order for this to work, each person is going to have to follow a set of government guidelines on which, think about this. Start to picture, Germany. Mm-hmm. In the mid-40s, the government is going to decide what suggestive is, and the government has to literally draw the line. The suggestive line. Mm. And that means that the government has to think about...
Did you perform the Three-Eyed Turtle into the Ram-Bam-Doodle? Did you attempt the Sing-a-Ling-a-Ding-Dong move in public?
And that's one of the vagaries of this, is he says, well, we can't really tell you what it is, but when we see it, we'll know it. We'll tell you when it's...
Yeah, and that's what they did with radio.
We're not going to spell out...
That's
specific.
What they did with television. Fox blurred out the Nooglies and still got fined. Now, personally, I think shows like that are distasteful, and I wouldn't watch them. That's so how you, I keep them keep, out of my life.
Wouldn't you want to keep them off the field at a high school football game?
Who off the field? The government?
No, those moves. No, those nasty, humpy, bumpy, grindy moves.
I think you can accomplish more by getting actively involved in your kid's school than you can by getting the Texas legislature to talk about 14-year-old girls doing splits. And by the way, I think the legislature wanting to do this, it's a great way to avoid serious legislation that they should be working on. 1-800-252-1025. Lori!
Yeah, I don't think that they should. I think it's a potential disaster. It'd be like the FCC. You won't know that you've committed the punishment, and you don't get the punishment until after you've committed the crime. No, they won't say what indecency is. You won't know until after it's over, and then it's too late.
Well, if they don't step in, you won't know until you see them grinding each other on the field.
Plus, let me put it to you this way. The school that racks up the most fines is going to make the most money off its football program. Yeah. That's the way it works in radio.
Tickets are $75 a seat for high school football, but I'm paying. That's a good show.
Thank you, Lori. Josh in Sumner.
Yeah, I don't think it's any of their business, because if they pass this law, what's next? Because if we give them the power to do that, then what are they going to do next?
Try to keep kids from getting pregnant? How dare they? That's a freedom of expression. I mean, come on. You got to do this. What are you going to fit each cheerleading outfit with a bunch of brass poles after at the 45-yard line?
It's more of the parents' teachings to teach their children what not to do. It's not the government's position.
Spike did point out, how well is that working so far?
Yeah, it's not working so good. It's been it's our job right now, and it ain't doing too well.
I can't imagine in the Bible Belt of Texas it's getting too suggestive down there.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Cheerleading is a serious, serious competition.
2, 4, 6, 8, tap that ass, that best of me. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
All right, next up, Dawn in Silverdale. Dawn.
Hi, good morning. I think that the government has better things to do with their time, and it just smacks of big brother and little brother getting in, getting themselves involved in things that they don't need to be involved in. Leave it up to the parents, leave it up to the schools and the school districts to take care of that and work it out together and work with the kids. The government...
You said the government is spread too thin.
You know, maybe they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, and they shouldn't be getting paid what they're getting paid to, nose into everything that's
non-essential
to them.
That's a terrible visual.
Split and nose in the same sentence.
All right,
that's what
you.
We're afraid of. That's what we're trying to protect against.
Can we find anyone? Is there anyone out there who thinks the government should do this? Or are we just Northerners? 1-800-252-1025. Heath in Puyallup.
Oh, hey.
Hi,
Heath. Hi,
Heath.
Am I on?
You're on, Heath. How old are you?
I'm 18.
18, go.
I think that government should regulate this because they have an obligation to fulfill to create a moral standard for the country. And I believe it's worked so far with smoking and drinking ages and restricting those. And so I believe that that it's just showing that type of stuff on the playing field in front of families and stuff is just immoral, and it leads to, I believe it can lead to worse things.
I give you credit, Heath. You make a well-reasoned argument. Joe?
Have you seen any cheerleading, Heath, that kind of violated your moral standards?
I have seen some... Pretty erotic cheerleading, yes.
Yeah.
What local school is performing these kind of shows? We want to...
Oh, I wouldn't say local schools. I'm just saying, like, on national TV. Oh.
National TV.
Yeah.
During the competitions and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You watch a lot of ESPN4, do you?
I don't really watch too much TV, but when I do, it's just kind of disconcerting to see the state of our lowered standards, I think.
So you think the government's job is to create moral standards?
I believe so.
He's right. They're doing it in other fields. He's doing it with tobacco. They're doing it with alcohol because those things have been found to be detrimental.
Those are health safeguards.
Okay, how many pregnant teen cheerleaders you need before it's a health issue?
I don't know if it's translating to pregnancy. I mean,
okay.
Come on, Johnny, score that ball! He's waiting for you right here, boy!
We need TV for that.
I suppose it could translate to teen pregnancy.
You put the cheerleaders at the back of the end zone when your team's trying to score? Another group of splits! Hey, score!
Thank you very much, Heath.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Lori and Everett.
Hi, good morning, boys. I just wanted to say that I think the government should butt out and pay attention to more issues that are more pertinent. Just what I want my representative to do is go view a bunch of cheerleaders and say, oh, that's good, that's bad. I totally disagree with that.
What is more important than our kids? What is more important than teaching the kids of this country that, you take a teenage girl in high school, and she's being told by the cheerleading squad that you got to sell the sex if you want to succeed at something. It's not important to tell your kids that sex isn't the most important thing they have to offer the world.
I don't believe that your issue said you have to sell sex.
They're trying to ban suggestive and lewd and erotic dance moves from high school cheerleading. So you were talking about sex.
I think that they should put it at the local level then. That's fine. I don't believe any state representative has any business doing that. They have bigger fish to fry.
Local levels want to win cheerleading competitions.
Well,
they do. That's why they get on.
You can't win with moves like that. I mean, the UCA.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. The UCA
yeah.
has rules.
The UCA
against that.
Has rules against it. So all you can do is put the fannies in the seats at your local game this
right.
way when your team sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably move out of the state of Texas if that was the case. What's our government coming to anyway?
Thank you, Lori. Ward, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with Bob. I think the PTA is there to you know, if somebody needs to say something about, you know, what they're children are doing in their cheerleading class. You know, that's what the PTA is for.
Thank you. And Bob and Shelton. Bob.
Hey, good morning.
As far as I'm concerned, the government ought to stay the heck out of it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's just, it's a form of censorship.
Thank you, Bob. Tim in Seattle.
Hi, I totally agree. I'm from Illinois, and I know that the high school association out there regulates it on their own instead of letting the government get involved.
Thank you. Craig in Federal Way, you're on.
Yeah, I think it's just parents not wanting responsibility, and the government's enabling the parents not to have responsibility.
Thank you. Carrie in Bothell, you're on.
I think they should base it off the same standards that the competition's already based off of. The school districts already regulate taunting the other teams, and it should be the same kind of regulations in the state district.
Leave it on a local level. Brian in Kirkland.
I think it's a sign of a bigger trend of, you know, we have an aging population that wants to continue to take more and more and more by law away from kids.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'll tell Spike why he's absolutely wrong when we come back. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. See the way he's dancing? It's lewd. It's suggestive.
It's suggestive. It makes our teenage youth think about sex. Doing the nasty in cars, in the back of parking lots, in movie theaters.
Young girls will get pregnant because of it.
A decline in our moral fiber. The young man of our very being as Americans.
You know what's coming, don't you? If Spike
really good
had,
Elvis movie?
No. If Spike had lived in the 50s, he and his kind wanted to ban Elvis's dance moves. You're the same as the stuffy parents of the 50s.
You would have been the president of the Pat Boone fan club.
Yep. There's a wholesome singer. A man who sings about puppy love. Holding hands.
Johnny Osmond.
Respecting a girl. Respecting a young woman's privacy.
Just food for thought. The phones are still full. The issue is cheerleading. Texas has just sent this bill to the Senate. It's passed overwhelmingly in the House that says the government of Texas will monitor cheerleaders and ban lewd cheerleading dancing. They don't say what that is. They, in fact, they say we'll know it when we see it, but we're decide.
And there will be penalties, maybe even some money withheld from school programs as a result of this.
On the phone is Alhan in Seattle. Alhan, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Rivers.
Yes.
I was listening to you earlier, and you passed a derogatory remark against one of the world's largest religious practice, equating it with cheerleading in Texas.
Are you talking about when I said...
Yes.
That, by the way, I certainly didn't mean to offend, but are you talking about when I said that Texas is to cheerleading as Mecca is to Muslims? That
why
it
didn't
is,
you say as Rome is to Christians?
I could, well, because Rome...
As bars are to Irish people.
Because Rome to Christians would... by the way, you know I meant no offense, right?
No, but you see, people have been doing that all along and smearing, you know, Islam.
How does that smear Islam when I say that you...
Why would you want to equate...
I could have said as rice is...
...cheerleading with you know, somebody who's performing a pilgrimage once in their lifetime.
All right, I could have said...
Are you passionate about your religion? Are you passionate about your religion?
Let's finish the joke here before we go any further,
yes.
Because we said... Cheerleaders, when they get in their pyramid, point towards Texas because
yes.
When you know you pray, you point towards Mecca. That was the
right. That was
analogy,
the
man.
That was the analogy. It was by no means.
Well, there you go. You passed another derogatory remark. You know, you're equating something trivial to something which is very religious and very important in a Muslim's life.
But see, the point is that yes. To Texans, cheerleading is very important in their lives. That was the point I was making. I don't know if you realize that.
I know, but to trivialize a religious practice that the Muslims take very seriously once in a lifetime and say, well, you know, this is Mecca for so-and-so, this is Mecca for so-and-so. You see, it's equating Mecca with...
No, actually...
With all these other practices that go on, and I've read that in the press so many times... And nobody says anything about it.
Well,
and, I just want to let you know that
right.
This is not a good thing to do.
Alhan,
right?
Alhan,
mm-hmm.
Please note that you not only got to speak up about it, You got to say your opinion. You got to say it for a long time, and I respect your opinion. However, you're mistaken about what I was doing. What I was doing was trivializing cheerleading.
You're making a living, see? That's what you're doing.
Well, no, I was trivializing cheerleading.
Yes. You are making a living by sensationalizing things, and that's your, you know, bailiwick. But do I even have a bailiwick?
Yes. I think I'm not allowed to have a bailiwick in Texas. All right, Alhan, would you do me a favor? Would you listen to me just long enough for me to get my thought out? Promise?
Yeah.
Okay. Alhan, we were making fun of cheerleading, not Muslims.
In the same breath, you're talking about a very religious, a serious practice. That's what you're trivializing it and derogatory. It's a derogatory remark.
He used He used the Muslim faith as an example, and then used that example, a standard of passion and religious belief, as a standard to judge Texas cheerleading against.
Why don't you equate it with something else?
Well, what I could have said
They perform a pyramid and turn toward Texas the way a Jewish rabbi performs a circumcision like a Norman Rockwell guy carving up a turkey.
I could have. I would have, in fact, used anything. And
you know, it's getting worse, you know, so that's all I can say is, you know, it's just not good practice to trivialize somebody's religion, you know.
Well, if you listen to our show regularly, you'll find that we don't trivialize anybody's. We do make jokes, but we don't.
I do listen to your show regularly, but this time I had to speak up.
Alhan,
as far as the Muslims are concerned.
And Alhan, how many shows would have let you on the air?
I don't know.
Weren't on this obscene cheerleading topic, I'd like to learn more about Mecca. Honestly,
Joe wants to get back to the obscene cheerleading.
You see, it's a solemn occasion, and it's a very religious type of activity, and you equating a trivial type of gathering
to
Mecca. That's so ridiculous.
I'm serious, though. I've heard that. Aren't you supposed to go there once in your life?
That's right. People prepare for it once in their lifetime, and it is a very solemn occasion.
We fully respect that, Alhan.
So, and I hope in future you do not speak in the same breath about Mecca as you speak about cheerleaders, okay?
How long have you been in America?
I've been long enough to know all about, what's going on.
Well, I respect that. My question is there anything in America that is as reverent to Americans? I mean, they're going to see the Lincoln Memorial in Washington,
D.C.? We don't have that kind of reverence for anything. That's why I use that example. We should have more reverence for our... And you know what? Even Christians, they don't go to Rome.
I have no burning desire to go to the Vatican.
Well, it's not... It's a commandment. It's one of the five commandments. Like, it's just like the Ten Commandments, okay?
And I should probably consider a religion with only five. I might do better.
Rituals that a Muslim has to perform.
Uh-huh.
And to go around equating it with gambling, Las Vegas, gambling Mecca of the world, I mean, that's so ridiculous. It just ticks me off.
Well, I respect your feelings, and no one intends to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't like Mecca being used as a adjective or a verb.
Speak of it in the same breath when you're talking about something like gambling or cheerleading.
Right, I can understand that.
See?
So, where were you last hour when we were talking multiple wives, by the way? Is that a part of the Islamic faith?
Yes, it is, and it was required in those days because there was so many people, so many men who would be killed in wars. And so the women were without support. So each man was allowed to have a maximum of four. Now, some of the rich people would get away with having multiple, more than four.
Because they're rich. That our cultures have in common.
Limiting that, see? Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a practical issue about societal well-being.
Yes. Maybe I should bring this up or not, but, if this Prince Charles... He was, his great-grandfather changed the whole religion of his country because he wanted to divorce a wife.
Yep, Henry VIII.
Henry VIII.
Right.
And I wrote a letter to Prince Charles. It says, if you had become a Muslim, you could have had Diana and another wife.
I love this guy.
Oh, wait a minute. You, Alhan, you made a joke trivializing the entire British Empire.
Well, I mean, they essentially changed a whole religion just to satisfy one king.
I know, but you made a joke trivializing...
Well, that's a fact, I pointed out.
Well, okay, it's a fact.
Yes.
Hold on, it's
yeah,
a fact.
You used Islam.
I used a fact, and I was not trying to trivialize your religion. You took it that way. I felt bad that you took it that way. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. So anyways... equating a gathering in Mecca is not the same as something...
It's not the same as defaming the entire British monarchy.
Well, I think they're proud of their religion, aren't they?
As are you, yeah. They should be.
See, I mean, and they got out of the fact that, you know, only the Pope can, you know, grant you a divorce. I mean, that's a personal thing, you know. I mean, and in Islam... Marriage is a personal contract. Government has nothing to do with it. See, it's a business contract between two people. And there's always a prenuptial agreement, which the West is finally coming around to it.
Mm. Alhan,
mm-hmm.
We really like you as a listener. I hope we've satisfied at least your concerns about our, you know, what's in our hearts.
I understand, yeah, because people don't think, you know, about what they're saying sometimes. Especially, it's a different paradigm, you know.
Right, but remember that we are comics, and comics make their living. You said it was my ballywick.
Yes.
We make our living by torpedoing sacred cows, but we do it in fun.
I understand.
Okay. Yeah, and you didn't know what about somebody's going to call in about the sacred cow now?
You can't quit cow torpedoing for making joke about it.
Right. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
You understand, Alhan?
All right.
But thank you for your time, sir.
Okay, bye.
Texas legislature has passed a bill, just the House at this point, that allows Texas government to regulate what are cheerleading moves that are not too suggestive. Another government censorship, government control over performances, this time at the cheerleading level. Some of you made a very good argument that these are youngsters and it's a school and it's not the same as, you know, the freedom of a dancer at Rick's to her art.
If you think children don't need the protection of the government more than adults do, you're nuts and you're lying to yourself.
And some of you have also said that, you know what, there already are systems in place for this and having it happen on a state or, if God forbid, a national level elevates our government to the role of censor. One more time, and it shouldn't happen ever. We'll get your thoughts on this now. Eric in Buckley.
Spike, shame on you.
How? What? Come on. Explain that comment.
No. You have a daughter that's, what, 16?
Yes, I do.
Well, come on, man. You are going to allow the government to take away your responsibility to raise your own child and raise her in the proper...
Yes, he is. He'd be happy to have someone please take
him. Yeah, you wish.
You know,
you think that's what this is?
Yes, it is.
Come on, you got to be kidding me. It is the parents' responsibility to teach morals and ethics and what these kids should be doing. It's not... Yeah, granted, yes, the school is supposed to, you know, assist in that. But it is not the government's responsibility to teach our children how to act and how to respond, what to do and what to say.
And the school's doing such a crappy job at this, such a horrible job, that all you see all over Texas is sexy cheerleader moves. Because the school's doing a horrible job of the job they're supposed to be doing. So instead of stepping in and saving our kids, the government should say, that's not my job, that's the school's job. And let the crappy job continue and let the victim here be our kids.
No, I didn't say it was supposed to be the school's job.
He didn't call up to say, let the crappy job continue. That was your idea to avoid the responsibility for yourself. The crappy job continue came out of you.
You know what? I'm not saying parents aren't supposed to be responsible for their kids. That's the last thing I would feel, is that parents shouldn't be responsible for their kids. Of course they should. There's already a law on the books in Texas that says students can't perform lewd... let me get the right verbiage here. They prohibit public lewdness by students on or near school campuses. That's already a law in Texas.
So it's already covered.
Okay.
That would be already covered in the cheerleading.
Right, it may very well be. I'm not going to say anything about the laws in Texas, because I'm not hip to them.
They're trying to add a special cheerleading division to an already existing law. Now, how sick is that?
Well, because cheerleaders are getting a free ticket. You can't. A regular student can't perform a lewd act
How
around
lewd
campus.
How lewd can it possibly be? They're keeping their clothes on, right? They're not.
It could be very lewd.
How lewd?
Like sex.
You could use some lewd right now.
Simulated
lewd
sex
up.
Acts.
Oh, they're not doing that.
That's
purely.
What they said.
Yes,
Elvis
they are.
Did
yes, they
Joe.
Are. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The whole point that I'm trying to make here is that. Like you're letting Uncle Sam in your front door to raise your own children.
I thank you, Eric. Mary in Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Bob. Yeah, I just think that it's not the government's job to do it. I believe it needs to start, if they want any changes done, it needs to start at the school level. These things, these moves, these dance moves or whatever, that they do are choreographed. So, you know, there's a coach. There's somebody there teaching these girls and sometimes guys, you know, how to do these, you know, these routines. And I believe that it needs to start at that level. Not, it doesn't need to be going into the government level. It needs to go, you know, start with the schools.
You know what I love about this?
Yeah.
Everybody's disagreeing with you. Yeah. Usually it's me they all disagree with.
I know.
I'm so happy to be on the popular side once
and
in a while.
And I am a little bit surprised, you know, it spikes passion about it. However, I do understand, you know, when you do have a young teenage daughter, you know, you just want to do everything you can. But I just don't think that it's you know, the government, you know, needs to be doing it. I think it needs to start really at, you know, the coaches and stuff like that, you know, and just say, hey, you know, we don't like, people are not liking what you're doing. You need to change your routines.
Yeah, it
and,
should.
And not teach the routines to be so.
And what it shouldn't be
it
is
should,
the government.
It should, but it's not.
Right.
They're not doing a good job. And unless somebody steps in and tells these teachers and forces them to do the right thing, they're not going to.
Julie is in Spanaway.
Hi. My daughter's a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And we were listening on the way in when I was dropping her off. I've got 15 and 16-year-old daughters. The 15-year-old's a cheerleader. And she pointed out herself that that's what the advisors are there for. The cheer coaches and the advisors are there. They're supposed to, in her words, be like your second mother that is supposed to watch out for you. They do choreograph, and they're supposed to watch out for that. If you don't like it, talk to them. And I'm really surprised at Spike, because what about somebody going and legislating his daughter's prom dress, because some prom dresses are very low cut.
You know they
is she
do.
Getting a low cut one, by the way?
Of course she is. They
she's
do.
Getting a low cut
no,
prom
she's
dress?
Not.
Yes,
come on.
She is.
No, she's
yeah,
not.
That was your choice,
God,
right?
Lord, good Lord Almighty. You people, you know what? Sweetie, first off, it should be the school's decision.
Exactly.
Okay, and there should be an advisory board making sure the girls do a decent
there
act.
There are advisors.
Yeah, it's already in place.
Cheer advisors and coaches.
Well, except in Texas, if it wasn't a problem, they wouldn't be introducing this legislation.
Right, and the reason it's a problem is because
they're not doing
cheerleading
their job.
Is as important to Texas
like
as rice is to the Japanese people.
There you go.
If I thought her moves were nasty.
I'm telling you.
Okay, this is you guys. You want it both ways.
You want
I'm trying to come up with something
in.
That won't offend anybody.
Good luck. You know, first you say it should be, there's an advisory board to tell these girls how to dance, right? Except in Texas, they're not doing their job.
Do you know why it's not working?
Because
the same reason half your baseball players are on steroids, because they want to win real bad.
Right.
It's not working because we need more government intervention. Jim in Seattle.
Yeah, I think this is kind of funny that it's coming out of Texas, because in Texas, doesn't the Christian Coalition run the school boards? And they teach abstinence instead of sex education, and
they
got
don't
the highest
teach sex
transmitted
ed.
Sexual diseases and the most teenage pregnancy. So I guess this is the one thing that's going to get them. We get this done, there's going to be no more sex at all.
Jim, thank you.
Yeah.
Aggie in North Bend.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I feel that the cheer system is being misrepresented. My daughter was a varsity cheerleader. They worked very hard. They had guys and girls on the team. They had to follow the school's athletic code. In fact, they were held at a higher standard because they were more visible than the players. They represented their town and their community no matter where they went, even out of state. And my daughter was going through a hard time freshman year, and when she got on cheer squad, it turned it around. Mom, I have to make a good decision because I have to compete. I have to represent my squad. I have to be for my team. This changed her. This made her a better person and more pride in herself and the choices she's made in her life.
You know, I agree with everything you're saying. I agree with everything you're saying. I think it's great that girls are involved in some kind of activity as a group, that they have guidelines, and they have standards, they have goals, they have consequence for bad behavior. I believe in all that stuff. And in a couple places in Texas, there are school advisory boards, teacher advisory boards that are throwing all that out the window to win competitions or to put fannies in the seats and letting girls be lewd.
That can only last for so long. Our town, our parents, our teachers, if they felt something was inappropriate, the coach heard about it right off the bat 2 seconds after the game was over.
Are you going to? By the way, are you going to concede you're losing this argument really badly?
No,
you're losing horribly.
I'm not. It's pathetic.
It's like watching the Sonics play the Girl Scouts.
You can't go on with that behavior and expect that the school's reputation or anything in that town is going to continue. You have scouts coming out to high school games now. You have a bad reputation in that school, whether it's cheerleaders or the players being inappropriate. Parents are not going to transfer their kids there. They're scouting that young. And if you allow the government to come in there and start telling you what to do, what are they going to do when they go on to college? Oh, I've got to have the government tell me what I have to make my choice at this party.
Are you
at some
kidding me?
Dance.
Aggie, thank you. Brian and Bothell.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like bloopers from Footloose. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine these girls are being too seductive. I mean, I haven't seen the pictures.
Oh, yeah,
the description.
You know, yesterday, Spike, we had Lance Armstrong's mom on, and she got knocked up as a junior Texas cheerleader. If she had not been a seductive Texas cheerleader,
we'd
there
have
would be
no Lance Armstrong.
Armstrong.
Be no Lance, I want to withdraw my position. I would not want to. The next Lance Armstrong is being conceived in the back of a pickup truck in Texas right now.
Thank you, Bob in Arlington. Bob.
Yeah. Good morning. Hey, I'm a school board member.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting when I hear people think that government should or shouldn't be more active in controlling the things that that we do. On the local school board level, you know, there is the option for people who believe that the moves are too suggestive or not suggestive enough to be participants in deciding what that is. They can actually go to the school board, air their views, and if they're convincing, then the local school districts can take care of those things.
But what if they're too busy taking a nap so they can watch Letterman and guys building a garage in their motorcycle on TV that night? They can't make the school board meeting.
Most of the parents have other things to do.
That's
whether
right.
They're doing as you suggest or going to other things. But I tell you, the parents who want to see the suggestive moves are the ones who are actively participating in the school district working with those coaches to help choreograph those things.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And it's, you know, you're right. Parents should be doing their jobs. School boards should be doing their jobs. But in Texas, obviously, they're not. Or why would the state legislature, why would this have passed? If this wasn't a problem that needed higher addressing, why would this have passed?
The legislature already said in Texas that students are not allowed to do lewd and suggestive behavior.
Until they join the cheerleading squad, and then it's fine.
If that is on the books, then they should be enforcing that law rather than making another law that they're not going to enforce.
Donna.
Hi. I just have to say, on one small level, I do have to agree with Spike here. Because
a very small level. Oh,
thank you, God.
Well, all of us
do.
But
God.
No, the one thing that people haven't taken into consideration is that the sporting events, the wrestling tournaments, the basketball tournaments, when we go to state, et cetera, those things are one place that sexual predators have access to, and they're not asked to show ID, and they're not prohibited. I mean, they are technically prohibited from schools, but there are incidents where sexual predators have been at these sporting events doing bad things to the kids, and the kids don't realize it, and the parents don't realize it. And if it's as bad as they're saying that it is in Texas, then somebody does need to step in and protect our kids.
And you would think it should be the government, that of all the people that could step in, it should be the government.
If it's big enough, like I said, you know, I know what goes on here in Washington at the tournaments, and if it's as bad as they're saying that it is in Texas and the schools aren't doing enough and the parents, for whatever reason, are too busy to do enough, then somebody needs to step in and protect the kids.
Chris disagrees. Chris.
Hey, Spike has taken the stance of the, what we think is really the problem today of the typical parent. He's jumping up and down and saying, this is wrong, but I don't want to fix it. Let the government do it.
It's not
the government's place. It's the parent's place. The parent needs to step up, grab the kahunas, and take control.
He's only got one kahuna left,
hey,
though.
Come on.
Well, if you don't like the stance, why aren't you run an ad in a paper in Texas asking the parents why they don't put a stop to it? That's where it belongs, not in the government.